taste nothing made for him. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. And he describes him as a man who lacks in faith, as being tossed to and fro as a vessel would be tossed along the waves of a sea or ocean or land or river. And he says to that individual, no, this is not the right thing to do. This is not the honorable way to follow. This is not the right way of the Lord to be. When we ask for wisdom, then let's ask and believe it, that we're going to see. Let's open our eyes widely, not just our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes, that we can see the things that are around us, making a better decision, doing a more timely good than we would do otherwise. For we ask the Lord of wisdom to do these things. Lord, ask the Lord for wisdom before we do a gospel meeting. Lord, ask the Lord for wisdom before we do a children's vacation Bible school set us on. Lord, ask the Lord for wisdom before preaching is done. We ought to find ourselves living that life of hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? The idea is to see it in the eye of faith. See it with the eye of trust, believing that good will come and that God's will be done in a righteous and good and honorable way. When we find ourselves living life that way, we find ourselves doing the cause of God by hope. Let me beg of you tonight in this regard that we make our missionaries a part of that wisdom request and that hope of the soul too. Let's not become a congregation of people, I don't believe we are, and let's not ever become a congregation of people that simply say, we'll send a check. We'll take care of somebody's financial need. Let's send a prayer along with every gift and every donation that we make. Let's involve God with every activity of which we serve. Let's not make a visit without a thought of prayer on behalf of the ones that we're going to see and the words that we will say as we arrive there. Let's not just do personal work ourselves. Let's not just take groceries to someone ourselves. Let's not just write a check and send it to a missionary ourselves. Let's involve faith more and the idea of hope more. And if we're ever tempted with the idea of just seeing, now let me apply this to this, if we ever have the temptation to say to ourselves, boy, that sermon is going to be there, and I see now that I have 20 minutes that I can check out. I see 20 minutes that I can rest my eyes. 20 minutes that I can take a nap. Nobody will recognize it. Let's not think in regard to the fact that we're at a worship service and not worshiping. That we're not bowing before the Lord. Praying for the statements that are being made. What I'm saying is, let's not get into the habit as preachers of saying, I'm preaching it, and that's all there is to it. No, there's more to it. There's a prayer for good, a prayer for godliness, a prayer of great love that it may go into the hearts and souls of individuals and compel them to be closer to the Lord than ever have they been. Let's preach it that way. Let's also not be guilty of sitting in an audience of people and thinking about a preaching that's going on, that this is going nowhere fast and I'm not learning anything and benefiting at all from this. Let's not apply the word my and me to it and think about just our own self. Let's think in regard to this is a message of the gospel. This is truth that's being taught.
And though I may know it very well, there may very well be some others here that don't know that very well. I believe a lot of gospel preachers fail in that regard in local congregations to teach the fundamental basic teachings of salvation from sin and worship of God and the doctrines of the Lord that are so special to the Lord that are taught in the Bible, doctrine regarding marriage, regarding the Holy Spirit, regarding how to live faithfully and serve faithfully from day to day. Those doctrines that are taught in God's Word are to be implemented and practiced in our daily walk of life. We're to have the hope of the soul involved in this. Do you not see all of these things wrapped up in this account given here in Luke 16:19-31 about the rich man's lifestyle and Lazarus' lifestyle and the lifestyle that the prophets, Moses and the prophets, said for the people to live? And the idea that they did not live that way, some of them did not, and that they would have no hope beyond this life. And that it's not enough for us to say, well, the rich man better had enjoyed it as he lived. He did enjoy it as he lived. He enjoyed what he did without much thought regarding this man and his gate. If he were ever told by the helpers and by the workers or by his brethren that walked by that this man was there, the scripture seemed to indicate that he knew this man suffered in his time, that he was enjoying his lifestyle and his time. It seems that he did know. The point is well made here, that we can be people who serve the Lord with a great hope when we add faith to our asking the Lord for wisdom to live, to worship, to serve, to teach, to do whatever we do in life. We ask the Lord to be involved in marriage, in the Holy Spirit, God instills of understanding, and the understanding of the kingdom, the understanding of redemption, the understanding of His wonderful grace and love toward us. It'll be too late on life's other side. If that is the truth of Luke 16, some have sought to say Luke 16, it's a parable that Jesus gave to us, and that it doesn't have the full impact of some of the other teaching that Jesus gave. Well, there are two or three things about that. One thing is that parables, in their common way, do not have identification names in them. Lazarus is by name in this particular account, and that by itself takes away from it being just a parable. Secondly, it's the very reverse in Luke 16 of what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is a heavenly scene attempted to apply it back to earth by the rich man's request that Lazarus be sent back to earth to his five brethren. So you see, it's the very opposite of the definition and description of a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Here we have a heavenly event that's taking place here after this life, attempting to apply it back to earthly life. And then the third thing in this regard, what parable do we not really think has a measure of great authority? Consider one. In reference to this matter in Luke chapter 8, here is a description of the sower who goes forth to sow his seed. Did he have seed? Did he sow it on some the good ground? Did he sow it on some the rocky ground? Did he sow it on some the thorny ground? Yes. And Jesus gives explanation to those disciples who come to him afterwards and say, explain to us what this really means. And Jesus said those thorns are those things that grow up and choke out the word in a person's life. And the dry ground is that ground that receives and quickly it withers away because it lacks the moisture. It lacks the encouragement of staying faithful to the Lord. What do we seek to do when we read parables? We seek to make the application of those parables to the way that we should behave and do and live in our earthly life. Well, think about it. because he's delivered the blood of a beggar man. And a rich man who did not care, did not concern himself with Moses the prophet while he lived on earth, and he died. And on life's other side, the indication here is he wished he had. And the idea of Abraham is that Abraham wished that he had too. He had the love of Abraham over there, telling him they have Moses and the prophets. If we'll be people who pay attention to God's word and love him in a righteous way, hopefully it will be the case that we find our lives rejoicing in that hope after this life is over. Let's think about our relationship to the Lord, and as we sing this words of thought and encouragement to us tonight, let's apply what we know in our lives. Are we people living by faith? Are we people judging the services of worship by faith? Are we looking to grow and have a blessing from God in this? Or have we been guilty of thinking the wrong way about it, not having hope and faith involved in the things that we do, and the idea that we've been doing it by ourselves, that the Lord's eyes are not over the righteous, and his ears are not open to our prayers, as Peter says in 1 Peter 3:12, that's something that's not going on, and we act like that the Lord doesn't care. He's not around and doesn't know what's going on with us. But the scripture seems to indicate, does it not, when his ears are open to our prayers and his eyes are over the righteous, that's something the Lord is doing all the time. Let's enjoy that life of faith that we live. I believe we'll see that any time that there's something that happens in our lives that's not up to snuff, it's not something that we would rejoice in, it's not something that we would say it's a good thing to happen, but we could look up to the heavens and say, Lord, this is here, and I'm dealing with it in hope and faith that I can survive it, that I can be a good example for you, and that I'll be the person that you want me to be. And because of that, I'll live in such a joyful way of life that my friends around me, instead of seeing that I live on the circumstances of life and despair and doubt and hesitation, I'll live on the side of faith and hope and wisdom, and as a result, be a mighty influence to everyone around me. That's the way to live. As we sing together, think about relationship to the Lord.